The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center, this is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. And the final hour from Sprint Week here at Radio Row for Super Bowl 51. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter. And been a fun week so far. We're almost done here, AJ. We're closing in. And you had quite the interesting interview here.
Yeah, I usually don't fanboy out too much at these things, but as I've made no secret that I've been a longtime Howard Stern listener. I've always loved Howard. I still listen to Howard every week, and Howard doesn't come out of his studio. He wouldn't be here, but his wrap up show was here, which includes Baba Booey, Gary Delabate, and John Hine. They host the wrap-up show every day on SiriusXM's Howard 100. And I got to meet those guys, and I got to sit down with John Hine just for a few minutes. But he's a big foodie, much like us, and I got to talk to him about his – this was his first Super Bowl experience, so I got a little chance to talk to John. Here's that interview.
8 Super Bowls for me, and finally, I get to meet some of the guys from the Stern Show. The great John Hine from the wrap-up show just finished his wrap-up show here from Radio Row. John, thanks for taking some time with me. How was it? How was your first Super Bowl experience?
Very happy to be here. It's good to meet you. And Radio Row, I mean, you see and hear how big it is, but you don't know until you really experience it. And I know Houston, it's Texas. You know, things
All
are
right,
bigger
three,
down here.
Two,
but, man,
one.
What a whirlwind.
And
we had a bunch
that
of great
was Rumble Johnson to wrap up the week.
Up. We got to talk to everybody from you know,
Radio
Robert,
Row, brought
Jonathan
to you by
Kraft,
Sprint. Want to thank everybody once again who helped keep us on the air all week.
I mean, Joe Buck.
All the great guests
that
we had. It's been a fantastic week.
And
we'll be back in the studio on Monday to talk about whoever wins on Sunday. Everyone has a great week.
We will see you on Monday.
Till then,
we try and do it at big events on and off. I think we're going to start doing it more because it's a great way for the show to get out and meet fans. Because being on Sirius, we know people listen to us all over the country, and they couldn't be nicer. And being able, since Howard, you know, he loves staying where he's going to stay.
Okay, guys,
Gary and
there's
I are
no
willing
one like your Valentine.
And, you know, go
you
do
want
shows
to get them something
spots.
That's unforgettable.
So,
this
was definitely a bucket list item.
Maybe some regularity now. Maybe you guys will do this every year.
I got to tell you.
Happens. I mean, it all depends on everyone's mood, but I think the Super Bowl is a good place for us to be, and
if Sirius
is doing something in a big event,
freshly dipped strawberry from Sherry's Berry.
I asked you before we started what you've eaten so far. I know you're a man who likes to eat, which, by the way, you're not as fat as everyone says you are. I noticed that when I first saw you. I said, this guy is medium fat at the most. So I was impressed by that, but I asked you what you ate. You said Papa's Barbecue. Do you have fast food planned here? Are you a Whataburger guy?
Yeah, I love Whataburger. I ranked it in the top 5 in my book, Fast Food Maniac. It's a fantastic place. I'm definitely going to hit the barbecue. A friend of mine wanted sushi. I said, I am not going to get sushi, with all due respect to people in Houston. And I'm sure there are fine sushi establishments, but I'm here for the barbecue. And Papa's was nearby. Somebody told me it was a chain type of place, but I thought it was really good. And there's only 40 others to choose from in this town. So, and thank you for the medium fat compliment. I appreciate it. A lot of times when I do meet people for the first time who have heard me on the radio, I often get, wow, you're not as fat as I thought you were, because Howard paints a picture and that becomes your reality until you actually see the person. So I'll take medium fat any day.
And Gary's teeth not as big as everyone says. His breath did not smell like ass. It was a overall pleasant experience. Man, I don't want to keep you all day, but are you bummed out the Steelers aren't here? Would you have stayed for the game where the Steelers playing?
I got to be honest with you. I probably would have. And what that means to you non-Howard listeners is I would have had to show up Monday morning spring, somehow gotten back here from Houston after the game, probably with no voice, and dealt with the ball breaking that would have happened, which would have been absolutely merciless. But for me, since I'm such a big Steeler fan, it would have been worth it. But the Pats got in the way. They deserve to be here. They kicked the crap out of the Steelers. And there's a reason that organization keeps coming back to this game. But I love the Steelers. I love the NFL and football. And I'm hoping for a good game on Sunday.
What's the prediction?
I like the Pats. I think it's going to be close. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring. But ultimately, you give Belichick a couple weeks, and he is dangerous. And Tom Brady, I think he's a little upset about missing those first four games of the season. And if he can get that trophy, I think it would. That's what's motivating him and the rest of the organization. I like the Falcons. I've liked them all year. But if I had it, I'd take the Pats by three and probably the over.
All right, that's John Hine from SiriusXM's Howard 100 wrap-up show. Appreciate you taking the time, John, and enjoy our fair city and the great grub that comes along with it.
Pleasure talking to you, and I'm sure I'll go from medium to large fat by the time I leave this place.
Well, that was special. Jung, whose fault was this?
That's mine.
You dropped the ball?
Yes, I did.
Shame.
Yep, that is a major shame bell for you,
shame.
Sir.
Shame.
Shame.
Yeah.
God.
Well, we'll put that on the podcast without us talking over it. And I hope to God I didn't say any F-bombs or anything.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think I did. I'm pretty sure I was being semi-professional. But, that's a good way to, Caleb says show glitching distracted me and made me miss my exit. Yeah, not only did you glitch the show, you made him miss his exit.
People could have died.
I know.
Shame.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a lot of shame.
All right, well, we apologize for that.
Yeah, we were trying to set some stuff up for later in the show, and that didn't work very well.
That's a fail.
So
it's a fail. It's on Jung.
Yeah. Honestly, if it were on us, I would. I did ask before we did it. Hey, can we actually record while we're playing an interview?
Yeah, we can. It's just
you just have to push the right button.
Didn't turn it off.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I didn't cuss. So.
I want to right now.
Oh, me too.
Right. Believe me, I want to. I am. I'm not. You know, but there's nothing I can do about it. So. We'll just roll on. That and Barry Warner over there throwing trash at us. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know, I said a lot of nice things about everybody at the top of the show. Remember that?
Yeah.
I retract them. I'm retracting all of it at this point because this has gone to hell.
Hey, the final injury report is out for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You want to hear who's on it?
Sure.
For the Patriots, they've got several guys listed as questionable. Martellus Bennett with a knee, Alan Branch with a toe, Nate Ebner with a concussion. By the way, if you missed the Super Bowl because your toe hurts,
yeah,
shame. Dante Hightower, shoulder, Chris Hogan with a thigh, Malcolm Mitchell with a knee, and defensive tackle Vincent Valentine with his back. The Falcons have listed no one, even though Julio and Alex Mack were both limited in practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And then Julio, Alex Mack, and Dwight Freeney were limited on Friday. Dwight Freeney didn't practice at all on Thursday with a calf, but they list no one on their injury report for the end of the week. Everybody's a go for the Falcons.
Yeah, I know Julio Jones was hobbled, not
dealing with a toe as well.
Yeah, and Alex Mack has also been a little bit of a question mark, but those guys appear to be good. And, I guess now would be a pretty good time for us to go ahead and give some predictions here.
I think it's going to be a fun game. I'm a believer in this Falcons team. I have been all year long. I expected them to be better last year. I'm going to go 31-24 Atlanta.
I think the number is right where it should be. I think it's going to come down to a field goal, and with that being the case, I'll take the Falcons and the 3 points.
But you think the Patriots win the game?
I honestly don't know who's going to win it. I think if it comes down to a close game at the end, I'll trust Tom Brady because he's done it before more than I'll trust Matt Ryan. But I'll go 30-27, and I'll go ahead and pick the Falcons to win, but I don't feel really good about that. I feel like they lose 30-27, I'm pushing. But I think it's going to be somewhere around there, hence the under.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on the under. The number is just too big, and I think that it's a matter of pace. I think whoever plays the game at their pace is going to win. I think if this game is, and when I say I'm picking the under, I'm still looking. I still predict a 55
yeah,
point
it's gonna
game.
Yeah, it's going to be in the 55 range.
And if it's that type of game, that's the Falcons' pace. If it's a 27-20, if it's a 27-17 type game, I tend to lean that. That's the way the Patriots want to play. So I think there's a lot of points scored. I just don't think there's as many as the total would require. But I think the Falcons find a way to control the pace. I think the Falcons make the big plays, and I like that team, man. I like that coaching staff, and I think Matt Ryan, this is sort of a – like Joe Flacco had a couple years ago, this is Matt Ryan's moment where people start to mention him in that top tier of quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think that would get him there. I worry about a couple of things. That Belichick will find a way to slow down that offense, whether it's with his own offense, keeping the ball more with the short passes, which you've talked about a lot, or whether it's forcing a turnover on defense or doing something on special teams to flip the game, because they always do that. So that worries me a little bit. And, you know, the first time here for these guys, you just don't know how they're going to react. And you know, how big the stage is, it's bigger than any of them have been on. And some guys are great. Flacco was great. Maybe Ryan will be great. But I've also seen quarterbacks melt in this situation. Great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dan Marino had a terrible game in his one Super Bowl.
Well, and you know what? Tom Brady is not great in Super Bowls. Like, if statistically, he doesn't have his best games in the Super Bowl. That's why when the Patriots win, it's not by much. I mean, they don't.
Yeah. Well,
they
don't win by much, or they don't lose by much.
Yeah, they're never. But they're Tom Brady specifically is never as great in the Super Bowls as he is in the regular season. And obviously, he's, you know, when you win Super Bowls, you don't care what your stat line is.
Yeah.
So people always say, and I agree that he's the greatest quarterback of all time based on what he's done in the postseason. But I mean, he does. He doesn't go out there and throw for 350 in the Super Bowl.
No, but you know what? He might do it, and that would be kind of the final cherry on top of one hell of a career, in my opinion.
It would be. I'd be shocked if he does that this year or this game, mostly because I think the way that Tom wants to play it and the way they're going to play it is they're going to try to find soft spots underneath on the defense, which I think is their only way. I mean, their only way to keep up with the Falcons, because the Falcons, when they get the ball. I say when you punt against the Falcons, you're putting yourself behind, because they rarely do. They get points, you know. And
they've been very, very good in the red zone, which it'll be interesting to see if that continues, because if they can hold them to some field goals,
that'd be big.
That would be big. And I also think if the Patriots get a couple stops early, then how do the Falcons react to that? Do they continue to, you know, do they continue to play the game that they play and just not worry about it? Or does it start, they start getting tight, they start throwing, you know, start dropping balls? That's all stuff that happens in these games.
And I think it's easy to say that, you know, if I think the Falcons win, Matt Ryan will be the MVP. But I really think you're going to see, and I don't know which one it'll be, either Freeman or Tevin Coleman. One of those two guys is going to have a mega day, I think. And that I think they'll be the difference in the game.
My long shot for MVP, Mohamed Sanu.
Okay.
That's my long shot.
I mean, if Julio Jones is taken away, Sanu, Gabriel, Hooper, those are the guys that are going to be they're going to be open for business.
He goes like 12 catches for 180.
Although I still think as good as some of these guys are with the Patriots in the secondary, taking away Julio Jones is easier said than done. You know, they couldn't completely take away Antonio Brown.
No, you can't completely take away guys like that.
You just
that,
can't. They're too good.
You make it hard on them, though.
That's what you have to do.
And that's what they'll do. And well, I got to tell you that I can make it easy on you when it comes to shaving. How about that?
Oh, tell me.
Harry's Razors. How about this? Have them delivered right to your home so you don't have to go to the store. You don't have to go say, get some angry salesperson to open the damn cabinet for you to buy a razor. What's that about? No, it gets delivered directly to you, and you're going to save money. It's convenient, and their blades are fantastic. That's what Harry's is about. They got tired of these big companies ripping you off, and they made their own factory, and they take less profit because they sell directly to you over the internet. Because of that, they offer their blades at half the price. These blades are every bit as good as the guys you're spending all this money on. In fact, it's just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay elsewhere. And these razors are fantastic. I love using them. Use them every day. That's why I'm so clean cut all the time. And they're so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer just to the Blitzers, go to harrys.com right now and enter code FAUR, F-A-O-U-R, at checkout. You'll get a post-shave balm, also free. That's harrys.com, code F-A-O-U-R.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.
One of the best things we've done to manage our business, outsourcing our human resources.
Is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And our buddy Raheel Ramzanali is out and about.
Raheel came through for us?
I think so.
Hello?
All right, we got Aaron Williams on the phone. What's up, A.J.?
How you guys doing?
Doing well. Listen, A.J. Williams and I, he probably doesn't remember me. I'm a schlub in his book now. I mean, this guy's made it in the NFL. But I covered him not only when he was in college at Texas, but I did play-by-play of his high school games High School. Yes, sir.
That is dope.
I've been following you for a while. And then, of course, I'm a Bills fan. So there I went from covering your high school games to you getting drafted by my favorite football team. So you've always been a favorite of mine. How you been? How's the neck, first of all?
The neck is going great. You know, just taking every single step I have to take to make it stronger. And really just, you know, putting extra more work than I did before. You know, if I want to stay in playing this game and, you know, hopefully that my body is still allowing me to play it. All I can do is prepare myself and get ready for the year.
You know, there's a lot of people who were upset when that hit went down, Jarvis Landry. Did you feel like it was intentional, dirty? What were your thoughts after you saw it on the film, actually?
I mean, it could go both ways, depending how you're looking at it. For me, looking at it as a football player, I mean, could he have handled it a different way? Absolutely. But, I mean, if you look back, you know, back in the day when ESPN had – the biggest hit of the week or something, like those are the things that fans were really excited about. So I can't really blame him for doing his job of blocking, but I mean he could have done a different technique to blocking me instead of, you know, launching at me. But I don't take anything personal. It's a game. It's a game for men. You know, things happen. People do get hurt. You just gotta kind of tough it out. But you know, nothing personal. You know, a vengeance for on my side. But I am. It's going to be fun playing against Miami again, I would say that.
You guys in Buffalo have had a bunch of coaches in the last few years, and I thought that defense was so good under Coach Schwartz, and then they moved him out when Rex Ryan and crew came in. The defense didn't quite get back to that level, but looked like maybe it was starting to round out, and then Rex Ryan gets fired. You guys have a new coach in Sean McDermott. What do you think of the new coach, and what did you think of the decision to let Rex go?
I haven't met Coach McDermott yet. I've been trying to get a phone call with him, but I hear nothing but great things. My former teammate, you might know him, Fozzie Whitaker.
Of course.
He was with them at Carolina, and I talked to him about, you know, how Coach McDermott was, and he told me he's a special coach. You know, he really listens to his players. He really wants to have a straight line communication on both sides between the coaches and the players. And that's something that I've always, you know, really admired about coaches, when they listen to the players, because you understand that you're in the meeting rooms and you're going through stuff and it looks good on paper. When you go out there on the field, you gotta adjust a little bit. And from what I hear from him, he's all about adjustments. He's all about being on the same page. And that's one of the great steps of being a great team to moving on to the playoffs.
You know, the Bills haven't made the playoffs since 1999. How old were you in 1999?
I was nine. I remember that play too. The
Music
miracle.
City Miracle. I mean, what's it going to take for the Bills to get back into the playoffs?
I mean, honestly, we have the right pieces. We've been having the right pieces. We just got to find that niche. I think, you know, we could use a player here and there, but you know, I think as long as we all are on the same goal mindset of what that we want to, you know, diminish this streak that we have continuing on, that we got to come together, man. It's just there's no reason for a team to go 18 years, 17 years, whatever it is, and the playoffs. I mean, especially the athletes that we have. So I'm going to push these guys extra hard this offseason, and we're going to get right.
What do you got going on in Houston this week?
Oh, man, I'm just, you know, just trying to enjoy, you know, meet new people, check out the festivities. I actually checked out the Houston Rockets game yesterday against Atlanta. It was really cool. I saw Yao Ming in the building, and Akeem Olajuwon, a legend. He was in there. So it was really cool just seeing a bunch of people that I looked up to watching on TV, watching them play, and then me being around them. It's an awesome experience.
What's your prediction for the game on Sunday? I know that you're very familiar with this Patriots team. What do you think Atlanta can do to beat them, or can they?
Well, honestly, it's all about matchups with New England. And Tom Brady is going to pick and choose who he's going to go against. He's going to look at the field. He's going to, you know, measure. He's real good at managing the game and real smart. And he'll pick his matchups. But at the same time, it's going to be a real good game. You got two high-powered offenses, and you got a really good defense in New England. And with Atlanta's defense, I mean, it's really going to be a close game. But you know, I'm hoping for Atlanta to pull this one out.
All right, that's AJ Williams of the Buffalo Bills. Appreciate you taking the time with us, man. Let me go down memory lane a little bit, and best of luck to you and all the guys in Buffalo next season, man.
All right, man. Thank you guys for having me. It's great hearing from you. I definitely didn't know that you were the talker for us. That's so awesome.
There you go. That's AJ Williams. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, so he's hanging out with Raheel.
There you go.
It's all you UT guys.
Nah, don't call me one of those guys. That's the last thing I need.
So
RJ Bell coming up next.
Yeah, we got RJ. And as you probably heard us recording, then the last segment we have an interview, and that's pretty much it.
There you go.
And then coming up at 6 o'clock, the Gal Party with Lewis Woodard and the Big E.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Who's the Big E?
I don't know.
Hmm. She's on regularly?
I think I've seen her around.
Oh, okay. It's the Big E.
A blonde woman. Yeah.
The real tall lady?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I didn't know they called her the Big E.
Yeah, they do. So
Kirsten's acting embarrassed, like, because we don't know the 15 or the SB Nation lineup. No one does. Thing changes every week.
Hey, we just we focus on our people.
Yeah,
man.
We worry about from 4 to 7. What's happening 4 to 7?
Yeah. All right. We're gonna go out a little bit early here because I want to save plenty of time for RJ. But I got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And if you want to sleep better, you want to have a better prepared body in 2017. After you got to get restful sleep. Man, I sleep so much better than I ever have. I slept great on my old mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. The new one even better. And you can get these pocketed coil king-size beds starting at $4.99 for the set. I got the new Athens Gel. It is fantastic. They use graphite in it, and it is just an awesome, awesome bed. And they know how to help you sleep because they make them right there and sell them directly to you. You could go to a retail store, pay a whole bunch of money, don't get one that's custom fitted, get one that's got some number on it or something. That's silly. You're paying too much money for that. You're going to save at least 50% at Texas Mattress Makers. Just because they make them right there and sell them directly to you. And they're all the time coming up with new mattresses and better mattresses. Save on the already incredibly low prices to beat any retailer and get you a custom fitted bed at Texas Mattress Makers, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. If you see Lax and Yuval in the gang, tell them you're a blitzer. They will take care of you. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
Is Sprint Week on ESPN 90. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And just a reminder, tomorrow I will be at the Capitol Bar from 4 to 6. Quentin Dimps was scheduled to be with us, but apparently he's ill, so we are working on a replacement. But 4 to 6 at Capitol Bar, there will be someone there with me. And brain cells will be killed. All right, let's jump right in because we want to get as much as we can in with RJ Bell, pregame.com. Mr. Bell, how the heck are you, sir?
Radio Row, hometown. You guys are living large right now.
We're exhausted right now, RJ. This around Friday of Radio Row Week, you start to feel that burnout, and we're there.
Well, listen, I've got something I have to admit before we get into the game.
Okay.
Your colleague, if I'm correct, Sean Salisbury, right?
Yes.
He tried to steal me away from you guys.
What?
Yeah, on Twitter, he tweeted me, and we follow each other, and I like Sean, and he said, hey, how about coming on my show? And I go, well, you know, I do have a study with those guys. And there was just you know, weird silence after, and it was like kind of like, hey, you know.
RJ,
I'm joking. I'm joking just a little bit. Let me clarify. Go ahead.
Block him on Twitter immediately.
Yeah. Ah, no. Actually,
don't worry. It's not
I reached out to him because he's got a show on another, you know, I think Sportsbook Nation or whatever it's called. And I said, hey, you want me to jump on? And because we follow each other. And he goes, well, what about Houston? And then he goes, oh, wait, you're with those guys. So, yeah, it wasn't like that. I just wanted you to know in case you heard any whispers.
I'm going to talk to him, let him know that we're exclusive in Houston and he needs to back off.
Absolutely. No, yeah, he was totally 100% legit. I was just playing with you guys, but it was interesting. It was.
Well, it's not the first time he's been rejected, so.
You know what's funny? I do ESPN LA, and I've done Mason Ireland for like 8 years actually now. They were one of my first big spots. And so I do Stephen A. Smith every week, right? And he's in LA and New York and whatever. And they actually were like, well, you can't do Stephen A. and do me and do us. And then it's like, well, what happens if I do Stephen A. on Friday and you guys on Thursday? They're like, okay. So, you never really realize that these, you know, you would think people at the same station, I'm not talking about you guys and Sean, you would think you're all on the same team, but oftentimes there's a lot of competition amongst the shows.
There's not really a competition. We just, you know, we don't like everybody else. Yeah. That's basically it. All we care about is 4-7 and making it the best we possibly can.
You guys are off in the corner of the bar drinking.
That's it. That's
exactly.
Us.
Exactly. All right, man, let's get to the game. I'm a little surprised that the line really hasn't moved at all, has it?
No, and what's been surprising, and I said this last week, and I said it from day one, I was pretty sure it was going to be mostly sharp Atlanta, and that's what we've gotten. So let's kind of say that very clearly. The sharp side of this game is Atlanta. Now, that doesn't mean that Atlanta's going to cover. It means they have a better than 54% chance to cover. That's all it means. So you can win with New England, and it's certainly not a sure thing with Atlanta. And since there's a lot of people that bet Super Bowl that don't bet the other times of the year, it's so important to say that, right? There's no sure things out there at all. What has surprised me is it hasn't been as heavy public New England as I thought. And I think the reason that you're getting more public action on New England, but not as much as I thought, is it's the 6 prior Super Bowls. Brady, Belichick, the brand being so familiar. And not only is Atlanta not near that brand, but they really were expected to be the Falcons, a below average team this year. And to go from that to a Super Bowl team, some people are just skeptical, especially those that haven't watched the games as closely. I think one of the reasons, though, there is more public Atlanta money than you might think is because of that last game against Green Bay. Green Bay had so much love, and Aaron Rodgers let it ride bets and all that narrative, and Atlanta just dominated them. And there's a trend that's pretty powerful. Score 40-plus points in the NFL playoffs. The next week, 5-24 against the spread. Now, the logic is simple. Everyone watches the playoffs. Everyone overemphasizes what they saw most recently. People love offense. So that when they see a dominating offensive performance, it's something where people want to play them the next week. So now you've got two counteracting effects. One is people want to play Atlanta because of that dominating performance. People want to play New England because of Brady and Belichick. Brady and Belichick's winning, but not quite by as much as I would have thought with the public better. So to recap, sharps on Atlanta, public split, more New England.
You know, last week we talked about the possibility of it hitting 3.5. I think it's safe to say at this point that's not going to happen, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I got a dinner bet on that. So it looks like I'm going to be buying a prefix French dinner. Well, luckily, this guy, he doesn't even know about French food. So I think I'm going to probably a steak, I'm figuring. I'm going to be all right.
That's better. That's better. Yeah,
I noticed. You want to make dinner bets with unsophisticated people.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. I'm guessing you expect it to go off at three, where you're going to get -110 on each side, or lately it's looked like more. If you want the Falcons, you're going to have to pay a little more juice.
You know, we talk about this all the time, and this is worth doing because, you know, our listenership is so sophisticated. And I'm being sincere, and every one of my spots, you know, I've done 20, I'm going to do 24 segments with people between Thursday and Saturday. So, and pretty much all those are online somewhere. You can listen. Anyone who wants to try to play gotcha and say, oh, RJ said so-and-so is sophisticated. No, this is, outside of Vegas, by far the most sophisticated audience, not only because you guys have trained them and you're attracting that kind of audience, and Sean Salisbury isn't, let's be honest, but is on the is on the other side is the fact that the audience really has, you know, on Twitter, the feedback is like, love the deep dive. So let's do a little bit of a deep dive. There's a sports book named Pinnacle. It's the biggest sports book in the world online. They will take $1 million on the Super Bowl and be fine with it. Like ordering a steak, literally. I mean, they're going to take it seriously, but they're going to take it. No problem. They are known to be a reduced juice book. Now, what does that mean? Typically, it's -110, -110. They might be on the NFL games, -105, -105. So it's literally like you're paying half price on the VIG. So that's why the sharps love this place. Now, they also will move the spread by pennies. Like, 1 minute they might have -105, -105, you know, -3 is the spread, and then it's -106, -104. It always keeps that 10-cent straddle, but they might move much more than a typical book, which will usually only move in 5-cent increments, either -110 or -115. Okay, here's the key. Right now, and let me get the update as we speak, but as of yesterday, you could have gotten -3. So now you're playing the Patriots +106. Now think about that a second. Is if you're -3, -110 versus -3, +106, you're literally 16 cents better betting a Pinnacle. And right now it's +105. So it's 15 cent difference. So Pinnacle is the hardest book in the world to beat because they're so sharp. You cannot beat Pinnacle if you're playing a line which is 15 cents worse than you could bet at Pinnacle. So right now you could bet New England -3, +105. If you lay -3, -110, you cannot be on the right side. It might win. It could win 10 straight times if we played it, you know, in some hypothetical universe. But you cannot win in the long run. So I very rarely am this unequivocal. Pinnacle is taking such a position on this game. There can be no doubt. They do not want any Atlanta action. They're saying, give me all the New England you can get, right? Because let's be honest, if you had Pinnacle, would you bet anywhere else but Pinnacle if you could get +105?
No,
versus
absolutely.
Yeah. So
not.
they're saying, come on. And imagine if you see a three card Monty guy, right? Three cards, and he's saying follow the queen. If he's saying come bet anything you want, probably means you don't want to bet, right? Because he's a master at three-card Monty. Good tip out there, right? And if Pinnacle is saying, come on, million-dollar bets on New England, bring it on, that means you probably don't want to be betting New England. Doesn't mean they won't win and cover.
What's funny is I bet the Falcons early at +3, and I got +105. And now I'm thinking, yeah, if I were betting in those amounts of money, like if I had bet $1 million on Falcons +105, I could easily just go put, you know, $1 million on Patriots -3, +105, and I'm walking away with at least something. You know, I mean, that's an interesting swing. What's happened? Because we talked about last week.
In that case, you'd break even, right? +105.
Well, I'd make a little bit if I bet $1 million and I'm going to get 5 cents back on it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm making some.
Yeah. So good. Well, unless it falls straight. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. And that's actually with a lot of, you know, and this is for the spring when we have more time, but a lot of wise guys, they try to take leads on it where they look at the openers and say, wow, based on all my experience, I think this line's going to move in this direction. And this is on college basketball games, you know, on overnight. And they write 70% of the time and they end up middling and scalping, they call it. So yeah, the direction of the line moves is something a lot of pros will take, spend a lot of time on.
What's your favorite prop on the board?
I love this one because it's got my favorite stat of the week, and it's a good bet. I like Atlanta first quarter plus a half a point. And here's the rationale. And I tweeted this out a few times. And by the way, guys, I got a fun little thing. 12 50-50 prop bets. Every one of them is pretty much exactly 50-50. But they're all very common bets. Like, will Tom Brady win the MVP? Like, will the longest touchdown be 49 and a half yards longer or shorter? Yes or no? And 12 of them. And it's great for parties, right? Because a lot of people don't understand all these prop bets. But if you go to a party with 12 easy 50-50 bets, you can have fun, put 10 bucks in or whatever. And I just tweeted that out today at RJ in Vegas. A lot of people have really liked that. And it's pretty fun because it's some ones that aren't as obvious too, you know, not just the coin flip or whatever. Is, you know, is one of the things that we were talking about on Twitter is that the Patriots have played six Super Bowls with Brady and Belichick before this one. In the first quarter, they've scored 0 points. Now think about that. Six quarters is a game and a half being shut out.
Yeah.
So there's something about, and I was listening to Lombardi on a podcast, Mike Lombardi, and he said, you know, Belichick is a big believer when you have 2 weeks to prepare that you really got to figure out what the other team's doing before you can commit to getting too aggressive. Almost like the first or second round of a big heavyweight fight, right? They're feeling each other out. Belichick, old school, he is feeling, and the other teams only scored, I think, an average of 6.8 points, if I'm remembering right. I'm not sure on that one. But the other team really hasn't scored in the first quarter either. So there's been really low scoring because Belichick's been so conservative. So on one hand, I get to bet on that trend with Atlanta. And on the other hand, you've got Atlanta has been the fastest starting team in the NFL this year, points-wise. So I think there's a lot of things. And remember, being plus a half is very valuable when you just bet a quarter because quarters can end up tied, right? 0-0, 3-3, whatever. So I think that's one of the – I think that's quite sharp, and that's one of the better ones. Atlanta plus a half,
well, RJ,
first quarter.
We've got a hard out, but I'm actually going to text you after this show and tell you why I like that and one more other prop I like. But we appreciate you as always, and enjoy the Super Bowl. I know it's a busy time for you, and we'll talk to you next week, my man.
Thanks, guys.
All right. RJ Bell, follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. We'll be right back. One more segment to go, brought to you by Sprint from Radio Row. Splits on ESPN 97.5.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5. Live from Radio Row at the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, joined now on the program by the man who's going to get the next crack at the 205-pound title, UFC fighter Anthony Rumble Johnson joins us. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm great, man. How about you?
Can't complain. So talk about the opportunity to fight Daniel again and what did you take away from that first fight? What do you expect could possibly go differently for you in the second fight?
Well, I'm blessed to be able to work my way back up and get another shot at him. Everything's going to be different, that's for sure. I didn't make too many mistakes, but the mistakes that I did make, it was costly. You know what I mean? So I corrected those at the moment they were happening. So I'm looking forward to fighting him again, and I will have different results. So there's nothing that can stop me but me.
You're one of these guys who, I mean, any given night you land one big shot and the fight can end. And for a guy like Daniel, who a lot of his fights are going five rounds, gives you a lot of opportunities. But I'm guessing as that fight wore on, did you feel like your big shot had less and less of a chance of coming?
No, it was the whole thing was when I dropped him, I surprised my own self whenever I dropped him. But I tried to finish him, and I just let it all out in like 10 seconds. And he did what he does. He'll grab you and just lay on top of you and make you even more tired. So that's exactly what happened. And he did what he had to do to win. And I should have stayed patient. I should have, you know, kept my cool, but I didn't. So that's why I take nothing away from Daniel, but he won't get away from me next time.
You think that's a product of the title fight? Like, you're, I mean, he's been on that big stage before. This was your first shot at it. Do you think that's what it boiled down to, as far as, or do you think it was actually a cardio issue, and that's something you're gonna have to work on differently for this fight?
I'm definitely working on my cardio more and more. Yeah, if I hit him, he won't get back up this next time. You know, I just clipped him the last time. I didn't even hit him right, so. I definitely hit him where it counts.
How comfortable are you now fighting at 205? I mean, obviously your weight battles are well documented, and yeah. I mean, it actually got you kicked out of the UFC.
No more 170.
I mean, did you feel like you finally settled into where you should be?
Yeah. I love being able to eat now. You know, love being able to eat. I love having fun with this sport, because when I was fighting at 170, it wasn't fun, you know what I mean? And once the fun is out of anything, you don't want to do it anymore. So I'm having fun now. I'm eating. I'm having fun with my friends and family. I'm here. You know, life is beautiful.
How much, in your division especially, do styles make fights? Because I always look back at, I look at the trio of you, DC, and Alex Gustafson, who, Alex, you just wrecked. And I think Alex gave Daniel his toughest fight, maybe besides the John Jones fight. But and then, you know, Daniel gave you your toughest fight. I mean, is it, how do you notice that?
With that, it was height, the height difference. Gus is 6'5", and John is 6'4", or whatever. Daniel's like 5'10", 5'11", whatever you want to call it. He ain't 6 foot, I know that. So Daniel didn't have as much confidence going in there fighting those guys that tall, because he has a long way to go. With me, I'm more of his height. He almost seen me eye to eye. So, you know, of course, his confidence was a little bit different. But it wasn't the style. It was the heights that made the difference in the fights. And, you know, like you say, I hit either one of them, they're going to sleep. So that's the only difference, was the heights. It wasn't anything else.
We've heard now that John Jones is looks like he's going to get the winner of your fight when he comes back. You believe that he is deserving for that?
He is deserving of it. But I also think he should fight Gus one more time just to see if he has it still. You know, being out that long, you know, and you know, you come back, you get put out just as quick as you come back. You know, I do think people should work their way back to the top. But John has put in so much work and did so much for the sport. He does deserve a crack at the title again. But I wouldn't be surprised if they make him fight somebody like Gus. I mean, that'll sell. You know,
which
I mean?
That was maybe John's toughest fight today. It was the Gustafson fight.
Definitely his toughest fight, for sure. I actually thought Gus won.
I did too.
I thought Gustafson won the fight, but he didn't. So we're not the judges, you know what I mean? So we just got to go with what they say.
Now, are you one of the guys, and John still believes that he's the champion? He never lost that title. He feels that way. Do you feel like, until John Jones gets beat, that he's still sort of the uncrowned champ?
I still think he's the uncrowned champ. You know what I mean? But right now, I'm going to go by what they say. Daniel's the champion, so I'm fighting Daniel. I ain't worried about John. But I look forward to fighting Daniel. I look forward to fighting John. I want to go, when I retire, I want to go out in history saying I fought the best of the best. You know what I mean? And the only person I haven't fought that's the best of the best is John.
That's Anthony Rumble Johnson. He will be fighting for the UFC light heavyweight title. Appreciate you taking the time with us. Enjoy Radio Row, my man. You got a prediction for the game?
Oh, Atlanta Falcons all day. I'm a Georgia boy, so I got to pick the home team. You know what I mean? I can't say how they're going to win, but as long as they win, that's all that matters to me.
I'm feeling you. I got the same vibe, man.
It's tough, though. It's going to be tough. I mean, anybody that faces the Patriots, you know you're in for, it's like the toughest fight of your whole life. Because those boys have experience. They have the coaching staff, and the players that they have is just amazing. But Atlanta's playing differently than we've ever seen them play before. They're playing with so much confidence, and I think they're going to be able to pull it off.
All right, that's Anthony Rumble Johnson. Appreciate the time, man.
All right, thank you, brother.
And that was Rumble Johnson to wrap up the week here from Radio Row, brought to you by Sprint. Want to thank everybody once again who helped keep us on the air all week, all the great guests that we had. It's been a fantastic week, and we'll be back in studio on Monday to talk about whoever wins on Sunday. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches. There's no one like your Valentine, and you want to get them something that's unforgettable, something that's unique. And that, my friends, is Sherry's Berries. Because when your lady gets these, her face is going to light up. This is such a cool gift. Freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99 plus shipping. Or double the berries for just $10 more. You just need my code to take advantage of this deal. Fred and AJ, and that's A-N-D.
Guys, this is such a great deal. There's only one way to get it. These berries are always great. They're always fresh. They're always juicy. They're dipped in white milk, dark chocolatey goodness, topped with the chocolate chips, the swizzles, and the nuts. Surprise her at the workplace. Co-workers will be jealous, and she'll be happy. There's only one way to get that great deal right now, starting at just $19.99. Visit berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in Fred and AJ. Go to berries.com. Click on the microphone. Type in Fred and AJ. Order today.
This is Sprint Week on ESPN 97.5.